Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal, the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Now, Pat Rice, the normal co-host, is not here this evening. She is on vacation on some secret tropical location. I don't even think I remember where she went. So she's not here this evening. But tonight we do have a very special guest host. We have a psychic and previous guest, Cheryl Ann Fletcher. How are you, Cheryl?
Hey, good evening, Jason. I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, we have a great show this evening, but before we get into that, I wanted to do another paranormal controversy. And for the listeners out there that don't know what that is, it's kind of a new segment that we're doing. I used to do the news, but now what we want to do is kind of have a short discussion before we talk to our guest tonight. And Cheryl, in a few minutes, will tell us who our guest is. But before we do that, we're going to do this paranormal controversy. And before we do the paranormal controversy, we got a little intro for that. So Cheryl, I'm going to play that really quick for us.
There are some subjects within the paranormal that cause heated debates and controversy. We will now talk about one of those subjects. Welcome to the world of paranormal controversy.
Paranormal controversy. So I was thinking about what a good subject for controversy would be, and we had talked about orbs and various other things that is highly debated. Oh, my English isn't very good. Various subjects that are highly debated, and came up with demons. And the reason that I chose demons was because I'm a skeptic, and I know, because we have had Cheryl Ann on the show a couple times before, that she has encountered dark spirits. So, Cheryl, demons, you've had some experiences, and you know I'm a skeptic. What's your stance on demons?
Oh, my goodness, they definitely exist. In my world, if you believe in Christ, you also believe in demons, and I have encountered three of those demonic forces three times in my life, and it's been all within the last 5 years. I have come toe-to-toe with one as a personal situation that involved my niece being, possessed by a demonic force. And I have come toe-to-toe with one at the Farrar Schoolhouse in Farrar, Iowa. It is a haunted school. And I have also been, my back was scratched in the boiler room by a demonic force. And then also at Edinburgh Manor in Iowa, at an event we have there, we had a gentleman by the name of Connor. We were all in the safe room, kind of room where you can go and plug in your equipment and get warm and be safe. Mm-hmm. We encountered a situation with him And we were doing a ghost box session, and I specifically called out for the dark force to name itself. And I said, you know, is this Lucifer? Which I don't like to call him that. His real name is Satan. And he came across the ghost box and said, definitely Satan. And as I heard it, I turned and looked to my left, and I saw exactly that. And to describe what I saw was horrific. It was a total black shadow. You couldn't see through it. It was so pitch black, and it had the most blood red eyes. It had a kind of a fiery looking face. It was about 8.5 feet tall, and it was pretty big. And I have absolutely no doubt that demons do exist. They walk among us all the time, looking for victims. And that's my stance on that.
Yeah, and I can totally appreciate, you know, you having those experiences. And I think a lot of the listeners know I'm just kind of one of those individuals that needs to experience it to believe it. I am a skeptic. I kind of feel like people, my theory on the whole thing is that I think that we manifest things into our reality. So I kind of think that if somebody encounters a demon, maybe either on a conscious or some level, they're manifesting it, not from like hell or some, you know, place like that, but just into their reality. But that's kind of my thought on it. But if I had had the same experiences you had, I certainly could have a different opinion on that.
Yeah, apparently, Jason, as I've always told people, it's really hard. It's, you know, extremely hard for people to be able to even understand what it's like until you've been there. You've had your own experience. And I pray, you know, daily that many people don't have that. It leaves you utterly exhausted. It can leave you sick, you know, and it can rock your whole world. But when you wear the armor of Christ, you know, it can't get inside of you, not unless you're weak, in my opinion, in your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hopefully I'm strong enough in my faith, and I just want to put it out there that I have absolutely no interest in encountering any dark forces. I encounter enough darkness in my life from people. I don't need any kind of a ethereal, spiritual, demonic evilness in my life. In fact, there's so many I wouldn't say bad people. There's just so much drama going on. And, you know, you watch the news and you just see all these bad things. And so I guess it would make sense that evil exists, you know, because you sort of have to have the duality of good and evil, light and dark, salty and sweet. So yeah, that was our little bit on talking about demons. I think we should get... Oh, it looks like Cheryl Ann just dropped off. So I'm going to give Cheryl Ann a chance to call back in. She disappeared on me. And she was going to introduce the guest this evening. Well, there she is. Let's get her back on. Yeah, I lost you there for a second.
Hi, Jason. Yeah, kind of cut us off. Something happened there, but go ahead.
Well, could it be the subject we're talking about? I think we should move on from talking about...
I believe that would be probably the best thing to do at this point, because we want to have a lot of positive energy going on here.
And, you know, I was going to play a demon soundbite. I just don't know if I should now, because it might give the show bad juju. So I won't do that. So anyway...
No, I think we move on.
What's that?
I think it would probably be better, Jason, if we go ahead and move on.
Okay, yes, let's move on. And
okay.
Now I do see a caller just called in, and we're going to get rolling with Bill for a little while, so if they want to call back, they certainly can, and then we'll ask him if he wants to take some callers, but it'll probably be a little while, so I don't know if you want to sit on hold there. So we'll go ahead and do that. If Cheryl, if you want to introduce the guest, I will type in his number.
You know what? I would be honored to welcome our guest this evening. We have on tonight Mr. Bill Bean. And Mr. Bill Bean has an amazing background when it comes to being able to perform deliverances regarding exorcisms. He also does weddings and house blessings, baptism and eulogies, and also he's quite incredible. He is a warrior in Christ. He has a new book out, and his book is called The Dark Force, Delivered, and also one second after another book that he has written. And I think tonight will be an awesome show, and I would like to welcome Mr. Bill Bean to the show with great honor.
Great, and I have his number plugged in, so I'm going to dial him right now, and hopefully I have his number right.
Yes.
The number you have reached, 884-4045, is not
okay,
in service.
Let's try that again.
If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and dial again. Thank you.
That's funny. Okay, let me try. Let me try a one in front of the number.
Okay. You want me to give that to you again, Jason?
Let me try this and see if this works. We don't normally call guests, so it's not something we're really, like, adept at.
The number you have reached, 884-4045, is not in service.
You might want
to. If you feel you have reached
again.
This recording in error, please check the number and dial again. Thank you.
Okay, Jason, let's go back over the number.
Well, let's not do it on the air. Text it to me on Facebook.
I will do it right now.
I don't know if it's a problem with Blog Talk or not, or I have the number wrong.
I'll be, yeah. Hold on one moment. I'm going to put it there for you right now.
It could be that I'm just slow because I'm like kind of a slow individual.
Oh, no, you're not. I just put it on your Facebook.
Okay. Here. Let's see. I had it right. I can try it again.
And that was when I copied and pasted.
Huh. We might
I
have to have him call in.
Him.
Yeah, you might have to message him and have him call in because
I will do it now.
It's not taking it.
And on the same number I'm on, Jason?
What's that?
You want me to give him the same number that I called in on?
Yes, give him that number because it's not taking it for whatever reason. And
okay.
It could be something to do with talking about demons, so it's kind of frightening.
It very well be. That's why we're going to go ahead and have him call.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody out there is having a fantastic evening tonight.
And be patient, everyone. We are working very hard to get you the information you'd like to have tonight.
Yeah, it's demons. Now I have to play the sound bite.
Okay, he just accepted.
I hope that doesn't jinx the show even more.
No, I gave him my number that I called it on.
Sorry, folks, we finally got it dialed in. I'm going to bring him in right now, Bilby. Bill, how are you? This is Jason.
Hi, Jason. I'm doing great.
Yep.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's great to get you on. Our dialing didn't seem to like the number, so I apologize for that confusion. But we were having a little discussion on, we do this little segment called Paranormal Controversy, where we kind of discuss heated topics, and the topic this evening was demons. So I'm going to go ahead and blame that demons were responsible for fouling up the dialer.
Well, we bind and refute that garbage. I'll tell you, by the mighty power of Yahweh, Jesus' name, we won't have any of that. And you know, that's part of who I am now. You know, I of course, but someone who was victimized and decimated by demonic forces. My family was destroyed by demonic forces, but you know, I assure you now with God's power, I am a strong warrior for his glory. So it's all about moving forward, and my mindset is warrior mode 24/7. I'm a holy bulldozer, and I'm always moving forward.
I absolutely love that. Holy bulldozer. That is great.
That's it.
So now that you're connected, we're going to get rid of all these negative vibes that might have been going on.
Yes, sir. I can assure
awesome.
You of that.
So, yeah, so Cheryl kind of talked a little bit about your background. I was hoping for those of the listeners that aren't familiar with you, you could kind of give us a little bio before we get into the nuts and bolts of your story.
Absolutely. I've written 3 books. My first book is called Dark Force, and in that book I write about the events that took place, where it all started. You know, I thought, you know, at that time when I'd written the book, I thought that it all started there, but it actually goes much further back, and I learned that from a family member after writing Dark Force, and I wrote about it in my second book, Delivered. But, you know, in Dark Force, I say it all began in Glen Burnie, Maryland, a community called Herondale, and moved into this 3-bedroom ranch style home, and it was just had an ominous look and feel about it from the very beginning. I was 4 years old when we moved there. My sister was 13. My brother was 1. And I recall my first recollections. I was just frightened just looking at the place. You know, it sat at the bottom of a downhill cul-de-sac. It was semi-dilapidated. My father, who was a master carpenter, had a contracting business, and he saw it as a restoration project, and he did a great deal of work to it in making it look good and, you know, certainly presentable. But it was equally as ominous and foreboding on the inside. You know, when you would walk in, you'd walk in the front door into the living room, and it was very dark in there. There was dark brown paneling on the walls, and the house was very dark, even on bright sunny days. It was dark in there. And I just had a very heavy feel and vibe to it. And you would make a right down a long hallway, which had hard tile floor. And oftentimes we would be in bed and hear footsteps coming down that hallway, and it sounded like someone walking with boots on or something, like hard-soled shoes. And it would reverberate off of that paneling. It was very loud. So.
Wow.
My brother and I shared the first room on the right, and my parents' room was the next room down on the right, and my sister's room was the last room across the hallway on the left. And that was the room that I feel really was a portal, because the temperature would just remain very, very cold in there, even on the warmest of summer days. It was cold in that room, and that's also the door that would open and slam for many repetitions at a time. And my mother was the first to have an experience, and it took place in the house while she was unpacking and organizing. My dad, William Sr., had taken us with him for the day to my grandparents' house to allow my mother, Patricia Bean, what they thought would be peace while she tried to unpack some items and organize them. And it was during the course of this that she felt the presence, and she thought that it was my dad sneaking back into the house to play a joke on her. And she spun around, you know, fully anticipating on seeing him, and to her shock, nothing was there. And it wasn't long after that that one of the bedroom doors slammed shut by itself, and that was enough to make her go outside and wait until we returned. So that's where it began, and it gradually escalated into violent physical attacks on us from these demonic entities that greatly contributed to the destruction of my family.
Wow, that sounds intense. I couldn't imagine, you know, growing up in a situation like that.
Yeah, it's definitely heavy stuff. And coming from an oppressive background like that and living as a victim for so many years, and to be where I'm at now as a warrior for God is nothing short of a miracle.
So would you, for somebody that's encountering these things, what kind of suggestions would you have? It sounds like finding Christ and becoming a warrior has really helped you out in handling and dealing with this. Would you suggest somebody following a similar path if they're dealing with these dark entities?
No question about it. I mean, faith is the key, in my opinion, and certainly by my estimation, and certainly by the miracles God has worked for me in my life. You know, I can't be any other way, and this is how God has called me to be. And when we turn to God, and when we, by our choice, make Him first, abundant blessings will follow. And furthermore, we turn on a switch that's inside of each and every one of us. When God created us, his name's Yahweh, and when he created us, he left a little piece of himself inside of each and every one of us. Therefore, we have great power. The power of God is within us. And Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, said this many, many times. And it's true. The power of God is within each and every one of us. And when we activate that mighty and holy power, we become armed and dangerous against the enemy and his minions. And then they will depart because they have no way to get to us then. So they will move on to someone else because it's all bully tactics. That's how Satan and his minions operate. It's bully tactics. They pick on the weak, and their mission is to kill, rob, and destroy. That's the bottom line. And if they can't get a foothold on somebody, then they're going to move on to somebody else. So when we are operating in faith, we carry a mantle of faith, strength, and courage. That's why God had such favor on David. He killed the 12-foot-tall giant, little guy, little David. He slayed a 12-foot-tall giant, and God had favor on him. So it was by his faith that he had the strength and courage to do such a thing. So God had abundant blessings and favor on him. I try to follow in that way. If God is with me and for me, what have I to fear? Nothing, no one. And this is how demonic forces operate. They feed on our fears, and they feed on all of our negative emotions. So when you have someone that's in a really bad emotional place and you have all of these things going on, whether it's health issues, mental health issues, traumatic type of events that are taking place, whatever the case may be, Satan and his demons are there, and they're feeding off of it, and they're feasting off of it, and this is how they increase while the person that is being affected decreases.
Mm-hmm.
So again, no. The flip side, when we have, you know, made a conscious choice and decision to make God first in our life, our mindset then changes. It's part of a transformation process. So when I can, with God working through me, make no mistake, it's not my power, it's God working through me, it's his power, I could cast demons out all day long out of people. However, if they're not willing to have a mindset change to step out of the fear-based, trauma-based way of living and the negative way of living, nothing is going to change. So that's where the real transformation takes place, when the person decides to take that leap of faith and step into the uncharted waters. And that is how we move forward in life, by our faith.
And we were talking, Cheryl and I were talking, she had encountered some dark spirits too, isn't that right, Cheryl? So I've never encountered anything like that, so I really don't have any personal experience with
mm-hmm.
that, but I know Cheryl did, and she was just talking about that.
Yes. And what I wanted to comment on was what you do say is absolutely what I talk about when I am doing a gallery ring. I clearly make it clear to people that and even if I come into a home and I bring Christ into their home and they are encountering any type of demonic force, any type of negative spirit of any sort, in order for me to clean or cleanse or bring Christ with me into their home, the first thing that they have to understand is that all the behavior in which they are doing at the current time has to stop, and they have to make a life change and accept Christ as their number one in their life in order to ward off any type of behavior thereafter. And if a person doesn't change their ways, you can come in and cleanse all you like, but, you know, if they don't wear the armor of Christ and make him number one in their life, it invites them right back in. And as far
not
as
not only invites
faith,
them back in, but seven more
right.
wicked than the original will come back.
Exactly.
And
so
this is something that people really need to realize. Cheryl, yeah, and that's a great approach. And, you know, I applaud you for the approach that you take there.
Yes. And people even that are in, like, lukewarm in their faith, they are definitely weak to sabotage. And that's how I believe how a person becomes, you know, their behaviors change. You know, that's obvious. And then they end up with a full-blown possession, you know, and if you're a lukewarm Christian, or if you're not really strong in your faith, you are susceptible to all sorts of attacks.
No question about it. And this is, you know, it starts with an obsession, then an oppression, and then what happens is when the person is worn down to the point to where they can't fight anymore, when they are just totally defeated mentally, spiritually, and physically to the point to where they have nothing left to fight back with, that's where the possession takes place. And it is literally like unplugging the person's mind and having that external demonic force plug right in. Because when people are under demonic possession, they have no recollections of what they have done. So people, their loved ones and family and friends will go back and say, hey, you know, you did this, you did that, you said this, you said that. These people have no recollection of that whatsoever.
That's exactly what happened to my niece. Absolutely. She had no recollection as to what had happened after
Yeah, many things go along with that as well. Superhuman strength, the voice changes, eyes change. You know, I've seen a person's eyes go fully black, fully white, mm-hmm. and yellow with slits in them.
Mm-hmm. You know, we always hear of, like, these people, well, not always, I don't think it's really common, but you hear about people that commit these heinous crimes and they snap out of it and they're, you know, like, what am I doing? And so I guess kind of that could be a demonic possession, but where do you draw the line between demonic possession and mental illness? Like, how
well,
would you know if somebody's possessed or not?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And it goes hand in hand, really, Jason. You know, I've dealt with hundreds of these cases now all over the country. And I continue to travel all over the country. I'll be in Houston tomorrow and two people down there. And then I've got just a ton of these cases in many different parts of the country. So I'll be in Houston tomorrow and New York by Tuesday. So, I mean, it's just I'm everywhere. And this stuff is on the rise significantly. And where you draw the line is God gave us free will. We're free to make our choices. But when we do things that open a doorway for the enemy and his minions to come through, the enemy is not interested in our free will. He tries to impose his will on us. So when certain doorways are opened up, and sometimes people don't even have to do anything other than be a victim of something, whether that's through some sort of rape or sexual assault, child molestation, whatever it may be, something that is a wicked, traumatic experience. Those demons come onto the victims like that, and they live through pure hell for the rest of their lives until they have some form of deliverance to be free from that garbage. And so people being free and making choices, you know, a guy that robs a bank, and you say, or a guy that commits this wicked, heinous crime, you know, he's a serial killer, or he's done something horrific, you know, killed someone, and, you know, he says he has no recollection of that or whatever. Well, that could be true. However, there had to be some doorway that was opened by that individual, by his or her free will, to allow that external evil force to come in. To guide along, you know, not totally take over, but guide the person along. Just as if God comes into our life and we say, okay, we make God first, he is first, we're covered by the blood of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, and Yahweh is first in our life. And so if that's the case, certainly in my case, God began to increase in my life. Therefore, I decreased, and he increased within me, which made me stronger by his power that was activated. So you see, you know, I increase in a positive way. Well, it's the flip side with Satan and his minions. You know, when he gets a hold of somebody and has that kind of influence, well, it's destruction. So, again, we are free to make our choices, though.
So I was going to ask you about Ouija boards, and I pretty much know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that at all. And again, prayer is all about the invocation of God's power. So if I say to you guys, join me in prayer for someone who is in need of something, and we pray, well, I believe God is hearing that prayer because we have invoked the power of God by our spoken words, and there's great power in that. The flip side, again, when people are doing things, whether it is witchcraft or sorcery or magic or voodoo or whatever it may be, you know, these anything that's dark and you know, of the enemy, they too have to invoke the power of the enemy. So therefore, that's why there are certain rituals and certain things that have to be said to invoke the power of the enemy and his demons. And I believe one of those things is fooling around with a Ouija board, because it is opening portals and doorways for demonic forces to come through.
Mr. Bean, I do want to ask you that. That is exactly what I tell anybody that has had an experience with a Ouija board or contemplating using any type of a Ouija board to communicate with the other side. I always say, well, for one, you don't obviously know the ramifications of using one in the first place. You don't probably even know how to close a portal if you did use it. And the after effects of even using one is the worst thing anybody could do. I do not promote it. I tell anybody and everybody that has one or has had one, they need to be cleansed. They need to go see a minister. They need to take the board with them. They need to get have, you know, a church take care of the board, you know, or somebody of God to take care of that board, and they need to be rebaptized and reannounce their faith.
Now, when I was younger, I did play with a Ouija board, but it was out of complete ignorance. I had, know,
kids won't touch it. You know, again, there are many different types of things like that that kids do, whether it's Ouija boards or sit around in a circle and invoke, you know, certain entities or whatever it may be. I mean, these things do happen sometimes, and I would certainly hope that parents would be very aware of what their children are doing and who their children are involved with. You know, in my case, back at that house, the people, the family that lived next door to us on the right, they had a daughter that had turned to witchcraft and Satanism and things of that nature. And then the house that was kind of catty-corner to us on the other side, one of the boys there had also turned to Satanism, and just amazing. It was just like, not only was the house affected by evil, but the entire area was affected by evil and still is to this day. And what made it so severe for my family and I is, you know, again, I found out that it goes much further back, that many, many, many years ago, even before my mother was born, someone in the family did something to conjure up these demonic forces. It came onto my mother's side of the family, and it had stayed with them for years. And I found out that my mother and her siblings had many paranormal, supernatural experiences in their childhood as well. So I have no doubt that this original demonic dark force led us to where this house was already occupied by demonic forces. And this is why it was so severe for my family and I. And I have been back to the area several times over the last few years as a deliverance minister / exorcist. And I have gone back on the behalf of others, engaging in spiritual warfare against these demonic forces. in different homes in the area. So the area is still very much saturated with evil.
So it's the current residents there? So the house still has issues even all these years later then?
I don't know anything about, I haven't been back to the house. I've been back to other homes in the area. I have not been back to that house. I did get contacted after my story aired, which my story aired on the Discovery Channel series, A Haunting, and it's the most watched and rebroadcast episode in the history of that series. And I was contacted by a young man that was watching that night, the first night that it aired. And his name is Edward Hardin, and he and his family lived there in the house from 1991 to 1994. And Ed told me that they too, while living there, had many bizarre, unexplainable, supernatural, paranormal experiences while living there. They were not attacked physically like my family and I were. However, they did have some very, very disturbing experiences while living there.
Wow. Now, we're kind of at the halfway point. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Paranormal Horizons on 106.5 KITC-FM and Blog Talk Radio. And I was wondering if it's okay, Bill, if we play that little sound bite that I did for you.
And I love it, and I want to thank you so much. That was top-notch, Jason. I am I'm proudly displaying that on my website right now, and I'm telling
awesome.
You do great work. It's I'm really, really impressed with that.
Awesome. Well, now all the listeners can hear it. It's a really cool little spot. Here we go.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.
I know if I need any spiritual assistance, I'm going to be contacting you, Bill.
Thank you, my brother. And I'll tell you, again, I'm so impressed with that promo. It's awesome. And I'll have to come to you in the future for other things like that. And I also want to thank Jen Mitchell. She did an outstanding job on my brand new website, www.billjbean.com. And I'm very proud of that site. And big thanks and shout out to Jen for her outstanding work as well.
Yeah, and for the listeners, we mention it. It's kind of a hobby I have. I'm not an expert at doing it, but I do it for several other shows. So, yeah, Bill, if you or anybody out there wants an intro or a spot promoting anything, just let me know because I can do them really quick. It just takes me a matter of minutes. And I like that you sent me your voice because, personally, I hate my voice. And it's always nicer to have the person's actual voice. So that was great you did that, and I think it turned out good.
We're going to do some stuff together in the future for sure. I'm going to got some ideas about some other things, so I will be in touch with you about that.
Awesome. That would be great. And getting back to the haunting, it sounds terrifying, and I've had some other guests that have had some really bad hauntings. So I haven't had that, so I can't really relate to that. But it just sounds traumatizing. How do you sleep at night, you know, with footsteps, doors slamming, and attacks? And I wanted to ask you about these attacks. Were these like scratches, or were people being pushed?
It's worse than that, Jason. Much worse than that. And there were times that my mother was physically picked up by an unseen force and thrown through the air. There were times that, and we didn't sleep. We got very little sleep at night in that house and very little sleep, period. And there would be times that my mother would try and lay down on the sofa in the afternoon just to try and take a nap. And there were times that an unseen force would actually levitate the sofa with her on it, and she would have to jump off and run out and run up to a neighbor's house until we got home from school. And my dad had left us in 1975, and I felt that my dad was under severe demonic and spiritual attack. And my dad, both my parents were great people, and my dad was blessed, an immensely blessed individual, and was a man's man, very rugged individual, very strong man, not afraid of anyone or anything. And was blessed with every attribute necessary to be highly successful in life. And neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50. And unfortunately, my dad, who I saw as a heroic type of figure, his character began to abruptly change, and change for the worse. And I feel, you know, looking back on it now, I feel that he was trying to escape reality, because this was a man that was used to being in control of every situation, and had now found himself in a situation that he could not control. My parents believed in God, but we were not religious. We didn't have any religious faith-based structure. We had never attended church as children. We were never baptized or anything like that. And so, you know, my dad wasn't going to turn to the church. And back then, you didn't have ghost hunters or anything like that, or, you know, paranormal groups or anything. And my mother would have never turned to them anyway, because she was a very proud and private woman, and she was very embarrassed and ashamed by what was taking place. But during this negative transformation in my dad, he began to drink very heavily, and was staying out late in the bars, and would come home very, very late. And this, needless to say, led to problems between him and my mother. And then he began to physically abuse her on a regular basis between 1973 and 1975, and nearly killed her on several occasions, I'm sorry to say. And I can recall being 8 years old, having to run to a neighbor's house to get the police called, you know, on my dad. And I have no doubt, based on what I witnessed, that these demonic forces were literally able to enter him and fuel his rage towards my mother while under the influence of alcohol. And had he not left us in 1975, I'm convinced that he would have killed her. So when he left, he left us in such a bad way financially that we had to go on welfare. My mother was very ill the entire time we lived in the house. She was suffering from high blood pressure, which led to a series of strokes, which ultimately led to kidney failure, and she could not work. And so it was very, very difficult. You know, when you're in a financial situation like that, combined with the paranormal supernatural activity that was taking place on a daily or nightly, and sometimes daily and nightly basis, this was part of a real destruction. And after my dad had left, my mother came under regular attack from three entities in particular, and they would come to her bed at night and would choke her. And my mother had cuts and bruises and scratches on her long after my dad had left. And it had got to the point to where she ended up having to sleep in with my brother and I because she couldn't sleep in her bed anymore. She was being, you know, attacked that badly. And I recall after one of these attacks, and I'll describe the entities. One entity had the, we call it the Undertaker. It had black hair, black beard, black suit, chalky white skin. Very sinister looking entity. And another entity was a human-looking entity that had red hair and a long scar down the left side of its face, clean-shaven, chalky white skin. And then the third entity that was regularly assaulting my mother was a hooded black figure with glowing red eyes. And I don't know if Jen has the pics up yet on BillJBean.com, but if you visit there and I'm on here right now, and I'm looking to see where there should be a place here where there are video and pictures and things of that nature. Click on some of those photographs, and you will see photos of some of these black hooded beings that you know, I've had encounters with and engaged in spiritual battle against many times over the years. And I don't proudly display these pictures, but they are authentic, unfortunately. And I can never thank God and praise God enough for saving my life, for delivering me, for transforming my life into the man I am now for Him. But I have to tell you, most of my family didn't make it. Most of my family is gone, and we had a priest involved. A Catholic priest was involved for the last 18 months, I think, that we lived there. It was 16 months. And I really appreciated that from him, Monsignor Auer and Holy Trinity Church. But the activity grew even more violent and more intense with his involvement. And my family and I are not Catholic, but my step-grandfather was, and he went to his church, and they sent a priest out. So that's how Monsignor Auer got involved. But if I were to list everything that happened in that house during that time period, we would have a series of shows. It's unfathomable the amount of activity, and not just activity, the amount of attacks that took place. I, too, was physically attacked many times over a 10-year period while living in the house. And when we finally were forced out in December of 1980, after waking up one morning to the pungent odor of burning wires, every electrical appliance that was plugged in suddenly burned up at the same time, we finally were forced to go. And the most frequently asked question is, why did you stay so long? Well, my mother was a very proud and private woman. She was very embarrassed and ashamed by this. My grandmother, her mother, wanted us to come and stay with her, but she and my step-grandfather shared a one-bedroom apartment. My mother was not going to burden them. And my aunt, my mother's sister, wanted us to come stay with her. But she had 8 children and a husband, and my mother was not going to be a burden to them. And quite frankly, each and every one of us came under demonic oppression at various times while living in the house. We all did things that were way out of character. And after that morning in December 1980, I felt that the oppression that was over my mother was broken, because I think she had a true realization that if we stayed much longer, someone was going to end up dead. And unfortunately, not long after moving out of the house, 2 tragedies did occur. First, my beloved grandmother, Dora Harvey, died from a sudden series of heart attacks, and then 2 months and 2 days later, my beloved mother, Patricia Bean, died from a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 44. These were the 2 closest people to me in my life at that time, and I was beyond devastated with their losses. And I quit school in the 8th grade, lied about my age, and went to work for a construction company, and I had to grow up very, very quickly. And that led to me making a lot of mistakes as I was growing into my adult years, and the paranormal supernatural activity continued into my adult years, and I wrote about these things in my second book called Delivered. And so I lived in darkness and despair for so long, and I was so affected by this in such an adverse, negative way that I was really seeking death. I didn't want to live anymore, and I didn't aspire for any hope or anything of the future. You know, I survived in each and every day, and that's how we lived for so many years. And so when I finally had this epiphany to make God first, and that I wanted to truly make Him first and make a covenant with Him, that's when my life changed. You know, when I was baptized in 2008, that's when the real transformation began to take place, because God knew that I was serious about making Him first, and abundant blessings followed, and then a calling followed. So really, none of this stuff was totally out of my life until 2008, until that baptism, until that covenant with God. And he honored that, and he put tremendous blessings over me, including an anointing, a spiritual anointing, to be a powerful warrior for his glory. So he put this calling on my life, which I very much resisted. I didn't want it. I didn't want to go back after being delivered from evil. Why would I want to go back and get myself involved in these things, helping other people? I'm free from this now. Why am I going to go back and get involved in this? But my plan and God's plan was not the same plan. And I could, you know, at first I ignored it, and I tried to ignore his calling as much as I could, until I couldn't ignore it any longer. And I began to do extensive studies of many different topics. So, you know, I was embarrassed to share with you and your listeners that, you know, I had to quit school in the eighth grade, but I'm very proud to tell you that God has blessed me with wisdom and knowledge far beyond anything that I could ever imagine in my life, and I'm a very intelligent man now, and I thank God and praise God for this. So never let anyone tell you that you can't do something, or that that you can't achieve a goal, that something is too far out of reach or it's impossible. That is a lie. If we believe it, then we should receive it, and we can achieve it. There is no way that if we are in total faith, there's no way that we can be knocked down to the point to where we see something as being too far away from us. We can do it. We can all do it. And if God would do these things for me, he'll do it for anyone.
Mr. Bean, I have a question for you, if I may.
Sure, sure.
I feel like that everything that's going on in our world right now, all this destruction, especially in Ferguson, in Missouri, and all over the place, all this destruction is nothing but pure evil, pure Satan.
Correct. Correct.
And I believe with all my heart that it's all being brought on by a lot of people opening themselves up to this type of behavior and feeling like it's okay to do this, and they're obviously not walking it with Christ. Do you feel the same way?
Well, let me say this. The world is made up of followers. There are very few leaders and very few good leaders. And so, therefore, we have a world full of followers, so they can be manipulated very easily. And you would have to go, this is a very deep question you're asking me, so it's I'll give an abbreviated response, but maybe you guys can have me back for another show and we'll really get deep into this. But
I hope so.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:13 through 15, to where God calls Adam, Eve, and Satan the serpent together, and he says, because you've done this with the woman, I will create enmity, which means hatred, between you and the woman, and I will create enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. See, a lot more took place in that garden than a piece of fruit. Satan had sex with Eve and produced the first offspring, his first offspring, Cain. That's why he slew his brother Abel, who was the offspring of Adam. And so this is why Cain slew Abel. And there is a seed line. There was a seed line then, and there's a satanic seed line now on the earth. And these people know who they are, and they're in the high places. And Satan and his minions are directing these satanic minions of his satanic seed line in directing the others. So we are at a time like no other. And I'll tell you, something momentous, in my opinion, is probably going to be happening pretty soon, because portals are being opened. There are seed line forces on this earth that are doing things like HARP, High Active Auroral Research Project. That's another deep thing, and we'll get into that the next time. But these types of things are opening portals by creating gigantic sinkholes all over the earth.
Yeah.
And some of these sinkholes are portals to hell, loosing demons. This is why things are increasing in a supernatural demonic way with people all over the globe. These portals are opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is all leading up to the Battle of Battles. And all I can say is I am quite thankful that I am not only with God, but God is with me. And Psalm 91, I stand by each and every day. When we seek Him, He will cover us. What have we to fear? Nothing. Because if God is with us and for us, who can be against us? No one. Nothing. So that is the key to everything. And like I said, when you guys have me back again, we will really get into some deep topics.
I think that would be great, Jake.
Absolutely. I am definitely going to want to get you back on the show for sure. And so we've had this caller that's been on hold for, I think, a record 46 minutes. So I don't know if they're just listening through the phone or they have a question. Did you want to see if they have a question for you?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. We normally don't take callers. This show actually is targeted frequently for mass trolling attacks. I mean, a dozen people calling at once to try and disrupt this show. So
wow.
I don't think that's the case here. So
I was
going to
say, this person hung for a long time.
Yeah, if you're going to hang for 47 minutes, we're definitely going to put you on. So
we're coming up on the end of the show, right?
Yeah, it's only an hour. Hey, caller, you are live. Are you there?
I am here. How you doing, Jason?
Hey.
It's Joe. How you doing?
Hey, Joey. Hey, I recognize that voice anywhere. God, you have been so super patient.
Well, yeah, I actually had to listen to the show on the phone because my cable is out. So I had no other choice. But,
welcome, Joey.
How are you? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in.
And Jim, how are you?
Oh, Bill's on with us. Bill Bean?
Oh, that's Bill. Oh, Bill. Oh, hi, Bill.
How are you? I'm doing great.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. Like I said, the cable is out, so it's a little frustrating tonight. But, and I have no computer, so anyway. So I'm listening to the whole show, really interesting stuff that you're talking about demons and stuff like that, because I'm actually going through a demonology online class right now, learning a little bit more about, you know, demonology and stuff.
God bless you.
Yeah, well, it's actually really interesting, you know, and the last points that were made even more made me interested, you know, about, you know, the world and society today, and the negativity in the world. It just seems like there's nothing but the devil around us, honestly, to tell you the truth.
Right. You're right about that.
There's a lot of negative. There's a lot of lack of religion in this world. You know, I can't even put my Christmas tree up without somebody telling me, "Oh, why are you putting your Christmas tree there?" You know, I'm allowed to promote my religion, and therefore I'm putting the Christmas
tree. Maybe not for much longer, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I hope not. You know, so it's a battle. It's like I feel the battle. That's the thing. I feel it. You know, I feel the haptic. I feel the struggle. You know, in everybody. You know, you talk to, you feel a struggle, you know, whether it be financial, whether it be, you know, a relationship, or whether it be, you know, it just seems like there's so much struggle in the world, you know.
It's all by design, Joe. It's all by design.
Yeah.
And see what's happened here is history repeats itself. So when a person reads the Bible, it's different. There is a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible.
I totally agree. When you do these serious studies,
you see that the stories, history repeats itself. And, you know, I made mention of Jonah a while back here in the interview. And it is like Jonah going to warn the Ninevites that if they didn't turn away from their wickedness, then God was going to destroy them. And we have it all over again here. People have just totally turned away from God, and they're immersed in wickedness, and they're doing whatever they want to do, however they want to do it, whenever they want to do it, and they have totally forsaken God. God doesn't leave us. We need help.
I want to make two more points before the show ends. There's like a minute left here, so I just want to make two more points. I think it's more like Sodom and Gomorrah, honestly.
Well,
it's the same thing. You know,
yeah.
I see it as Sodom and Gomorrah. I see America falling apart. I see America being just like the Roman Empire of yesteryear.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I see. You know, and I just see a crumbling. You know, I just see a crumbling, you know, coming, you know, just like the Twin Towers crumble, you know, I just see a crumbling coming. Because I see an internal crumbling and I see strife. I really see civil war soon, you know, it's actually really sick, but, you know, I feel all of this, you know, I just have a sense that
I agree with that, and what I would say, by their choice, to come back to God. Now is the time to come back to God. I don't want to see anybody die. And I'm praying that everybody takes heed to these words. It is time to turn back to God. And if this nation would turn back to God, then he would repent his anger and heal our nation and our land and have favor on us again.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
One more point I wanted to make before I leave. Jason, you have a great voice. I don't understand why you don't like your voice.
I get that.
And
yes, he does.
You do great voiceovers, my friend, for me and for everybody else out there. So God bless your voice. You have a talent, okay?
I would agree with that. So we're going to have to wrap it up here. Joey, thank you for calling the show. And then,
thank you, Joe.
He's with the Joey Giggles Foundation, and what I'll do, I'll close the show with his promo, but I want to thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
You,
my pleasure.
God bless you,
so,
Joe.
Take care, Bill. Thank you.
And
Bill,
guys, I want to thank you so much for having me on. It's been a real honor and pleasure. I look forward to being back with you again, and God bless both of you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, guys, God bless, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
All righty. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
All righty. Well, wow, what a great show. And I should have. I had one more question I wanted to ask him, but I'll ask him privately. You know, I agree with everything that's happening, that the world is coming to an end. I know we're always saying that there's going to be an apocalypse. But I'm really curious, how is that going to manifest? Are we talking nuclear war? Are we talking, you know, natural disasters? And what's scary is I've been having a lot of dreams of, like the last one I had the other day was I was in a valley surrounded, you know, by these small mountains. And suddenly these huge boulders were coming down the sizes of houses. And these mountains were crumbling. And I finally realized in this dream that I was going to die and there was nothing I could do about it. So I'm kind of afraid that I hope these aren't prophetic dreams. What do you think, Cheryl?
Well, you know, Jason, my thoughts on that subject is I believe man is self-destructing on our own with a little bit of help of obviously through Satan. And I feel like, yes, I'm prepared. I'm prepared totally to meet my maker tomorrow or any day he arrives. And I thank God so much that, you know, I was able to find my Lord when I did and walk with him daily. You know, I've been able to witness for several people lately that has also come to the same conclusion that, you know, man is pretty much on their own self-destruct mode with a little bit of help of, you know, the Satan piece. And the more people dabble in Satanism and the more portals that are open. And he spoke about the sinkholes. Oh, yes, I absolutely believe that 100,000%.
There's a lot of those. You keep seeing, it seems like every day somewhere in Siberia there's some giant pothole or in some city suddenly half a dozen houses get swallowed up. You know, something's going on. What it is, I don't know. I just wish I knew how it was going to happen. Or where, even better, yeah. I wish I knew where it was going to start so I could get away from there.
I believe that nobody's going to know when, and that's the beauty of it. I am thankful that I cannot foresee when. I have been asked that question a lot of times,
and I'm thankful that I cannot see that. I do not want to know. I believe that is my Lord's decision. And mm-hmm. when he's ready, he's going to be ready, and he's going to come riding in on a cloud. So, you know, I'm just thankful that I walk with Christ.
And there's probably no mountain high enough or bunker deep enough to be rescued from it. I mean, if it's our time and we're talking about some sort of spiritual cosmic disaster, I guess you can't run from it. And with that, we got to wrap up the show. We're a little bit over. I did want to mention a few things. want to mention that, you know, to check out Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. I have taken down my personal Facebook page just because there's just a lot of drama going on. And so I can't be reached personally on Facebook, but you can always check out Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. And we have a website. It's under construction. That's www.horizonsradio.com. And then, Cheryl, how can people get a hold of you? I know you are very talented.
Oh, well, I do have a Facebook page. It is Cheryl Ann Elliott Fletcher. Again, Cheryl Ann Elliott Fletcher. And then also I have, you can reach me at Cheryl at Extraordinary Connections with CherylAnn.com, or by telephone, of course, or by Facebook, by instant message, whatever works.
Awesome. And with that, we'll end the show. We don't know, haven't really set up a guest for next week, but I want to thank everybody for listening. We had several people in chat. I want to thank Joy for calling. And with that, I'm going to say good night, Cheryl, and thank you for helping out with the show. And we'll have to get you back on as a guest host. Maybe you, me, and Pat, we can do a show soon.
I think that would be great. And also to Jason, thank you. And I feel very privileged to be on your show. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was absolutely awesome.
Great. Thanks again, everyone. And this has been Paranormal Horizons on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. And this one's for you, Joey.
Supernatural Gallery.
This is Jason Ophir from Paranormal Horizons. Are you into the supernatural? Ghosts? UFOs? Demons? Well, if you are, you're going to want to make sure you give a listen to Supernatural Gallery. Supernatural Gallery is hosted by Jerry Williams, Joey Giggles, and R.L. Demery. Supernatural Gallery is at WIRN 81.3, which can be found at www.wirn813.com. The supernatural world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. Why don't you give Supernatural Gallery a listen and see if you can find some answers?